If you have nothing else upon your hearts, I'm going to try not to be very long this morning. I'm going to do my best to preach quickly, but to get a point across this morning, if the Lord will help us. The Lord laid this thought upon our heart a couple weeks ago, and we weren't really sure when it was going to be supposed to be preached, but we knew that it was supposed to be. And so I want to try to convey that to you this morning. Turn with us to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. While you're turning there, I'll give you a little bit of background on 1 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul was writing this to the church at Corinth. He wrote, as you know, two letters or two books of our Bible are dedicated to the church at Corinth. Paul was giving them some instructions. He was very instrumental, I think, in the life of the church at Corinth. He visited them. If you look in the book of 2 Corinthians, he talks about his love for the Corinthian church and how much that he longed to be back with them, but yet that he wasn't at the time. Paul was a missionary. Paul had lots of places that he had to be and had to go. And so he was on a lot of missionary journeys, and sometimes his way passed through Corinth and sometimes it didn't. But he wrote this letter, this epistle to them, and I want you to pray this morning that God will use this message to help strengthen our church. That's what Paul was doing. So he was writing this letter to help strengthen the Corinthian church. The 12th verse of this 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians says, "For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, or have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not of the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are there many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, 'I have no need of thee,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. There should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it." It says, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." I'm going to read the 28th verse as well, and then I may go ahead and read it all. "And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, second prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." Our thought this morning and our title of our lesson this morning is, "What kind of church are you?" This question I pose to each person that is here this morning, whether you're a member of this body or you're a member of another body. What kind of church are you? I want to explain a few things, and I probably have a subject before me that's going to take a lot more time than I have this morning. And if I don't get done this morning, maybe the Lord will let me continue next Sunday. I don't know. The first thing I want to establish, and I think most of us know, is a church is not this building. A church is made up of baptized believers. That is what a church is. That is what we are today at Mount Calvary. Many years ago, 1971, this church met here on Nolensville Road to establish or to meet and maybe establish a Baptist church that would teach and preach true doctrines. In 1972, the church was organized here on Nolensville Road. It became Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. And what made those things a common bond was that they were baptized believers that were led of the Spirit to unite with this body. There's one thing that I want to clarify by this morning, and I pray that God will help me be able to do that, is that there is this thought today among all kinds of people that there's this universal church. Well, I want you to know I don't believe in a universal church. I'm of the thought process and of the camp that believes that each body, this body here, is autonomous from any other body. You know why I believe that this morning is because when Paul was writing to these many different churches, he would call them a body, and he would talk about Ephesus or the church at Ephesus, and he would say, the body there, or at Corinth, he would talk about them, or Colossae or Philippi, he would call them a body or a church in particular. Well, I want you to know something. This morning, as we're reading this lesson about 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, as we start there, one of the first things he says, it says, "For as the body is one and hath many members." I want you to understand something. There is no way that a universal church could ever be. And the reason that I believe that is because this body that is here is a local body that we must take care of. Amen. There is no way for this church to be able to govern or know what goes on in other churches across this world. When Paul was writing this lesson, he says, "For as the body is one." There is one body here at Mount Calvary. If you go on and you read over, I believe it's in the church at Ephesus. Paul was writing them, he says, "For one Lord, one faith, and one baptism." Now, that makes it sound like there's only one church or one faith. I want you to realize, I believe that there is one type of faith. And I want you to believe there, know this morning, that I believe it's the very kind of church I'm in this morning. I believe it's of the Baptist belief. I believe it's of the belief system that you still have to pray and seek Christ with all of your heart before you're ever saved. Amen. I don't care what the name is on the side. You can have missionary, you can have stationary, you can have any kind of Baptist on the name. You can have any name out there. But what they teach is the most important part. That is what makes the difference. But this body here, as I think about the body of Mount Calvary, what is it made up of? Many members. There's not just one member. If you look at me this morning, now you don't have to. You might want to look at someone else. Look at your own self if you want to. You can look at yourself and know that your body is not made up of just one part. I don't have just one foot that makes up my entire body. I don't have just one hand that makes up my entire body. I have many members that makes up this body. I have arms and legs and fingers and toes, and I have many different things that makes my body what it is. It's the same thing for a church. A body is made up of many members. And those members make what? One body. These members of my body this morning, they make up one body. They do. If there was a universal church, we'd have lots of hands. We'd have lots of feet. It'd look like a great big monster and have lots of eyes. But you know what this body here at Mount Calvary has? It has members that God has placed where it pleases Him. If you think about it this morning, when you read that verse of Scripture, it says, if the whole body were here, an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him. I believe God places people in His church. Now I want to make mention of something. I believe that God leads people to unite with His church. I'm of the opinion this morning, if God had never led anybody, nobody would ever join the church. But I believe the very first thing that happens after a person gets saved is that they should unite with a church of life, faith, and order as soon as possible. They should. It should be the very first thing that they do after that they have been saved. It should not take very long. Why do I believe that? Because I believe everybody that's been saved, God will lead to unite with His church. The reason I believe that is if you look over at His baptism, He was not being baptized to be baptized into His church. He was not being baptized to be saved. He was baptized to show us that we should be baptized, that we ought to be baptized, that we need to be baptized. And when we follow Him in that, we'll be blessed in our following of the Holy Spirit and of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one
body. Now, I want to clarify something. There are two types of baptism. There is baptism by water, which is what gets us into the church, or is symbolic of us joining the church. It is a death, the burial, and the resurrection. It is not salvation. Baptism is only an outward showing of an inward change. When we go down into the watery grave of baptism, we are showing the world whose side that we're on. Water baptism, I believe, is essential to becoming a part of the Lord's church. I don't believe you can be sprinkled. I don't believe you can be just halfway covered. I believe you have to be fully submerged in water. I don't care what kind of receptacle you're baptized in, but you'd better be fully submerged in water. And by a church that teaches and practices the truth, by an administrator, what do I mean by that? By somebody who has the authority to baptize. That's what I believe about baptism. I've heard of places that mamas and daddies and grandmas and grandpas and uncles and cousins and sisters, they could baptize anybody they wanted to. I do not believe in that. And if you ever bring that idea up in this church, we're going to have an issue. Because I believe that the Lord teaches us there's a correct way to baptize somebody.
Amen.
But guess what? That's not the baptism He's talking about. He's talking about baptism by the Holy Spirit. Some of you are thinking, what in the world is this preacher talking about? Baptism by the Holy Spirit. Do you remember what happened over in the second chapter of the book of Acts? When the church came together, and the church was established a long time before they ever got over there. When that church came together on the day of Pentecost, the Lord came down in a rushing mighty wind and His cloven tongues of fire, and He gave that church the Holy Spirit. You see, there is a difference in this church and a lot of places that carry the name church. The difference is we have the Holy Spirit, and many places today don't even know what the Holy Spirit is. You can say, preacher, that's awful judgmental. I want you to understand something this morning. The Holy Spirit is essential to our churches. If a church does not have the Holy Spirit, they are not a church. And you can say whatever you want to. You can say, what is the Holy Spirit? I want you to know what the Holy Spirit is, what we believe it to be. You say, preacher, I go to churches and they shout and they do this and they do that and they roll on the floor and they do this and I've seen that happen. The Holy Spirit is where Jesus is, where He resides, where He makes His home. And I believe that is here in this body.
Amen.
Why do I believe that? It says, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. You see, what happened was, is on that day of Pentecost, it energized the church. And from that point on, you had churches that would spring up and they became their bodies. But guess what they all had? They all had the Holy Spirit. You read over in the book of Revelation, there are seven churches in Asia. And a few of them were on the brink of losing that candlestick. They were on the brink of losing the Holy Spirit. What made them a church? You know, we can sit here about Calvary Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday night, Sunday night, whenever that we meet. And we can make ourselves become not a church. They can slap that church name on every sign from here to California. But without the Holy Spirit, it is not a church. It's not even a body. It's not even anything that God recognizes. Bless your heart, I know many places today, and I'm not downgrading them at all. One of the things I think of a marks of a New Testament church is that they love people. And they love people so much that Spirit is manifest in a mighty way. You know what the Spirit does? When it saves our soul, when the Lord saves our soul, it makes us love everybody. The Bible teaches us, Jesus said His greatest commandment was that you love one another. Love people! So my question is this morning, and I had to get all of that out of the way, put my framework up. Because if we are the body, if we're the members, and we are the body, what kind of church are we? If I were to ask somebody that question, you know the first thing they would say, Brother Greg, you're a missionary Baptist. Congratulations, you read our church sign. I'll give you a popsicle after church or something. I'm glad you figured that one out. Good job. Well, we're Mount Calvary. Again, good job, Brett Simon. Well, we have these beliefs. I would agree. We have a set of beliefs that we hold to. We call them doctrines. They are things that are essential to us in our belief system. They are what makes us a missionary Baptist church. You say, preacher, what is a missionary Baptist? I don't have time to go there today. But I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter if missionaries in front of that Baptist or if it's not. If they don't teach true doctrine, they are not a church anyways. You couple that with the Holy Spirit and you have a church. It has to teach the truth and it has to have the Holy Spirit. I'll say this, if they don't teach the truth, they are not going to have the Holy Spirit. Because God's not going to be there if they're teaching something that is not the truth. So, my question to you is, I'll ask you to each of you, if you are a member of a church somewhere, what kind of church are you? What does that mean? The church is every person that makes up the membership of that body. What kind of church are you? Now, I understand that people have memberships in different places and different things. I understand that completely. I want to bring it back down to another point. Just because you're a member somewhere else does not make you a member of this body. I've heard people say that, well, because you're part of the universal church, you can be a member anywhere you want to. That's not how that works. That's not how that works at all. I believe that we hold our membership in places that God has led us to hold our memberships. And until He leads us to unite somewhere else, we need to keep our membership right where it is. But God must be the one who leads us. So what kind of church are you? Why do I ask that question? Look at verse 25. Or you can read pretty much everything that I read this morning, but there's something that I want to get across as hurriedly as I can. I want to look at verse 25. Says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. So, again, I'm going to phrase the question again. What kind of church are you? When I think about a church, what do you think about? There are things that I think about when it comes to church. Today, we have all kinds of different styles of places that you can go and worship. I had a friend that was telling me that they were building a new building, and they said, well, we don't want it to look like a normal church because people are turned off by church buildings. I said, well, what are you building? He said, well, it looks like a big warehouse. It's metal-sided, and you go inside, and it doesn't have pews, it has seats, and we don't have carpet, and we don't have a pulpit, per se. We don't have this, we don't have that. And I said, okay, well, just because the building doesn't look like a church, if you're still meeting and you're teaching the truth, aren't you still a church? He said, well, people are turned off by church nowadays. I'm almost mind-boggled that you can make a statement like that. That just the actual look of a building can make you not want to go somewhere. I'll say this. I believe we have a beautiful building here in Mount Calvary. But if tomorrow this building burns down, we will still have a church. And it will still be where this neighborhood and this community could see that we are still here. When I think about a church, my whole mind goes back to growing up on a little church on a hillside there in Simpson County, Kentucky. It's white, four walls. When I was growing up, it didn't have a fellowship hall and it didn't have bathrooms. It was just four walls. It had some old hard seats. I'm telling you, they were hard as they could be. I was young, but I remember it. If you wanted to go to the bathroom, there was an outhouse behind the building, and you had to get up, and everybody knew you were getting up, and they heard the seats squeak, and they'd be like, oh, everybody turn around and watch you as you went out the door. And you didn't go and do the full business because everybody knew if you were out there too long that you were what you were doing. So you couldn't do all that. You had to make it quick, fast, and in a hurry. You see, that's my perception of what church was supposed to be. It had to be those four walls that you'd go in there and you'd sit on those hard seats. When it was cold, they'd be cold. And when it was hot as it could be. You see, that was what I grew up with. As you get older and you start to start recognizing things, and the church actually built some bathrooms on it, thank the Lord, that was wonderful. We appreciate that. I want to make a sidebar, given our people today that don't believe a church should be a church if it has bathrooms attached to it. I don't know where you get that idea. If it has a fellowship hall, it's not a church. If it has a Baptist, it's not a church. I don't in anywhere in this Bible see any of those mandates. I don't see that. You can believe it if you want to. I don't. They have creature comforts today that they didn't have back in the Bible. If you think many, many years ago that they all came into a building, sat in seats like we do, and sang out a song, looks, you are out of your mind. They probably met wherever that they could. They met in houses. They met in caves. They met wherever that they could worship the Lord. We just tend to make it a little easier on you today. But what is a church? As I got older, I remember kind of my whole perception starting to change. I was mature. Well, I knew about Sunday school and I knew about all of those things. And well, if people asked if you went to church, you would say, yeah, I go to church. And as I got older and older and older, I remember starting to see the people and how they cared for one another. And how when other people came in, they cared for them. And I remember as I got older, and I remember lost people, going to the altar, I remember people going with them, going to pray with them. I remember Brother Delk was our pastor for many years. I remember times that he would go and visit people, that he would love on those people, that he would care about those people. And I remember watching the members as they would do things for each other, as they would be at church. You know, as I think about what Paul was trying to say, is he says, you know, there's many members of this one body, and you all play a specific role. You see, all of us today that are members of Mount Calvary, we make up this body that is located here. Now, there are some here today that are not members of Mount Calvary. Does that mean you're excluded from being a part of our family? No. While you're not officially a member of this body, it does not mean that we love you any less. It means we probably love you more. We care about you, and we want you to enjoy our church with us. But you see, we have jobs to do as members of this church. Whether you agree with me or not, every one of us, we have a job to do in our church. So what kind of church are you? I want to ask you a question. If you were the only member of this body, would there be a church? Ask yourself that question. Would there be a church if I was the only one that attended there? Would I even go? I remember Brother Massey. He was talking about a man that there's a church, I believe it was down in Alabama. And the church had gotten down, they didn't have a pastor, and there was only one man going. There were these men that were sitting out at the store every Sunday as he walked by, and they would look at him every Sunday and they'd say, well, I just don't know why he continues to go. He's the only one going. He was the deacon. They said he would go down there and he'd sing a few songs. He'd get his Bible open and he'd read him a Bible lesson. He'd get down and he'd pray and he'd sing another song and he'd go home. He decided one day that he was going to have him a revival. So he invited him a preacher. And the preacher came and he began to hold services that week. And they said they watched that man walk every night to that revival service. And they said for the first few nights he was the only one that went. They said they sat outside that general store all week long. And they said toward the end, the men that were sitting on the front porch, they said, you know what? He's gone all week by himself. We might as well go too. And so they went down there and they said the preacher began to preach. And God came on the scene and those two men that sat on that porch, God came by and convicted their souls. And as the preacher continued to preach, they ran to the altar and they got saved. And then they joined that church. And then their family started going to the church. And one old man, he stopped that guy one day, the deacon, he told him, I'm so glad that you continue, because if you hadn't, I might have died and go to hell. And I'm thankful this morning that somebody loved that little church that I went to enough to keep going.
Amen.
Because somebody loves a church and they wanted somebody to be saved. I want you to know something. Our churches will die if people don't care.
Amen.
If you don't care this morning, if you're not the church, then what are we? Why are we here? Why do I come every Sunday to yell at you every Sunday morning? No. Because God has led me to be here. He's led me to be your pastor. And He gives me sermons to preach. What is your job? To listen to you yell every Sunday morning? What if that man stops going? Do you know, Brother Massey told me that church ended up growing. They had to tear that old building down and build a new one. And they're still meeting. This was years ago. He said they continued to grow and people continued to get saved. And it was the faith of one deacon that just kept on going. When nobody else saw a reason to go, he just kept on going. That man, one man, was the only member of that body left. He was the church. What if everybody else stops coming to Mount Calvary? What's going to happen? Eventually, one person's not going to be able to keep this building up. You have to do something with it. You have to sell it. You have to do something. But as long as there's one member of this body left, it is still a church. What kind of church are you? I want to ask you a question. Do you pray for your church? Do you pray for it? Do you think about it? I'm going to ask you another one. Do you worry about it? You say, preacher, why would you worry about the church? Read over in Ephesians. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. I want to turn over and read it this morning, if God will help us. If we can find it. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and he gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Do I worry about this church every single day? Am I worried because there's bad things in our church? No. I worry because I'm afraid that someday it may, and not just here, anywhere, there might just be one deacon that's still going, or one person that's still going, and they might just give up. What happens to that community when there's no lighthouse? What happens to the community when there's no one left that cares or loves the Lord, that has the truth? What happens to them? Bless our hearts. If we had the heart of a deacon like that, that just kept going, I'm going to be honest with you, I would be just about discouraged. And no doubt he was. But as we read that the members should have the same care for one another, one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. One of the things I think about a church, it should be good for its community. A church should be good for its members. I'm going to be honest with you. If I got up every Sunday morning and said, I just really don't want to go over there, I have a hard time coming to church. One of the things about being a part of the church is having a family. We are a part of a family here at Mount Calvary. Whether you're a member or whether you're not, you are a part of our family. You make up our family. The members are the ones who make up this body. We are members of this particular body here at Mount Calvary Church. But the thing about this is that we should love one another. If we are the church, we should love our members. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to use this way of thinking. When I get in the shower in the mornings, I don't hold my hand up. I say, well, you don't like my hand this morning, so I'm not going to clean it or wash it or do anything to it. That doesn't work that way. I don't leave one member out to dry. I take care of all of the members that are on my body or in my body or part of my body. What does that mean for us? It means as a member of this body, we should take care of all of our members. That we should love all of our members. I'm going to take a step forward. That we should love every visitor, every person that walks through these doors. We should love them. I don't care who they are, what color they are, or what they look like, how much money they have, or how much money they don't have. We should love everybody because guess why?
Everybody has a soul in need of salvation.
And you know what the very job of our church is? To see people saved. To tell the world about Jesus. There's a song that we sing from time to time. Tell the world Jesus saves. Sing it aloud. Tell the world that Jesus saves. That's our job. Don't think that little deacon was doing that. Every day as he passed that old country store on Sunday morning, for years they said, he was telling the world Jesus saves. There's a reason that I'm going. There's a reason that I'm still there. And don't you know that night those two men got down on their knees and began to pray and they got saved? Don't you know that it made all of that worth it? All of those miles. Every part of that church. Don't you know that we look around today, when I first came to Mount Calvary, I heard people say, oh, we don't have many. You know, it's not about numbers. I don't care how many that we have. We can have two or we can have 2,000. But I want you to know something. Without the Spirit, I don't care how many are here. If it's empty, let it be empty, but let the Holy Spirit be here. Amen. If it's full, let it be full, but let the Holy Spirit be here also. There's a song that we also sing from time to time. It says, little is much when God is in it. That guy, that deacon, he took a little. He took a little faith and he just kept going. What kind of church are you? Are you the church? Are you a representation of the church? Are you going out? Are you telling the world about Jesus? Are you going out and telling people about this way that is greater than anything? I love what Brother Joe said earlier. I'm telling people, I don't want to cross any boundaries, but I want them to know. What if we all had that kind of boldness? I find myself presented with opportunities to tell people about Jesus, and the first thing I do is I run and hide. He's reading his Bible for people to see. He's telling the world about Jesus. Are you the little deacon that keeps going, or are you the one that says, you know what, nobody else is going, neither am I. Why would I go? Nobody else is there. What does it matter if I show up? You know, they've got those people. The church isn't like that. I've often thought, I'm going to close with this because my time is quickly coming on this morning. I've often thought, July 14th, 2004 was the day that I got saved. Heard my granddad talk about a time at Pleasant Hill when just a few were meeting. And they met over one day for a business meeting. They were actually going to disband the church. They were just going to go their separate ways and be done. I don't know what year that was or what time frame it was. But I've often thought, what if because of one little man, they disbanded that church? I believe there's a man, I believe it's Brother Marlon. He said, why don't we just keep going on a little bit longer? Just a little farther. Why don't we just hang on just a little while longer? Well, as my granddad does, the church began to turn around. People began to get saved, and not in the church, and began to grow. The best thing you can say about a church is not that it's a large church, but you can say people are getting saved at that church. The Spirit is at that church. If I hear people talk about Mount Calvary, I don't care if they say, well, they have a small congregation, but they sure have the Spirit. And that's what I want people to say. I don't care how many we have. I want them to see that about us. Boy, they've got to be a congregation, but they're as dead as they can be. How sad would that be? They're just as dead as they can be. Well, I was born in 1993. 11 years would come and go. And then one night, they'd have a revival service. And there'd be a little boy that would kneel down. And he began to pray. And the Lord would save his soul. Where would I have been if people had stopped being in church? Where would I have been? Except preaching probably would have been somewhere else, you'd say. But what if they gave up? What if they quit? What if they stopped being in the church? What if we stopped being in church? What if next Sunday is the Sunday someone needs to be saved, and we're not the church that we're supposed to be, and they missed that opportunity? What if we're that kind of people? Why in the world would we call ourselves a church if we don't love people enough to be here so that they have an opportunity to be saved? Why? Why? I'm so thankful. You all heard me say this, and don't you ever tell them. If you go to Old Fashioned Gospel Hour later, and you want to see those ugly yellow seats that I always talk about, you'll get to see them. Bless their hearts, those seats were just, I don't know who thought that was a good color for church seats, but they were not. But you know what? God didn't look at the color of those seats. He didn't look at the way that building was shaped. He didn't look at any of that. But he looked at that little boy that got down on his knees and cried out for mercy. And that's what he saw. And it's because those people continued. That those members had care one for another. They had cared for lost humanity. If you've ever been to Pleasantville, you know it sits about 11 miles out of the county. Nothing around it, not a thing out there. But I'll tell you this. The Spirit was out there one night. If it's never been there before, it was there that night. And it's because people love the Lord. When Paul was talking to this body here, he was talking to the church at Corinth. He was not talking to a universal group of people. He was not talking to many. He was writing that letter to them and to them alone. Somehow it would make it into the 66 books that we have. And on January 28th of 2018, a preacher would preach a message from a letter that Paul wrote to Corinth about being the body, about being the church. If he wanted them to be a church then, if he wanted them to be a better body then how come we should think that we're any different today? What kind of church are you, brothers and sisters? Even if you're not a member of Mount Calvary, I want you to know one thing. From the bottom of our hearts, whether you're a member, whether you're not, whether you've never been a member of a church before in your life, whether this is the first church you've ever attended or if it's the last church you ever attend, I want you to know one thing from the bottom of this church's heart, that we love you.
Amen.
We care about you and we always, always, always will. One thing I'll say about this body here, they love people. More than they love people though, they love the Lord.
Amen.
And when you love the Lord and you love people, it'll shine the light in this world that will not be able to be blinded or stopped. What kind of church are you, brothers and sisters? Are you a church? Are you a representation this morning of the Lord's church? I'm out of time. While we stand together and while we sing.